Good morning.
Welcome to St. Mark's today. For those of you who I have not yet had the chance to meet, my name is Jason Schmidt. I'm the pastor here at St. Mark's, and I'm pleased to share the good news of Jesus with you today, to lead you in worship, give you a chance to offer your prayers up to the Lord. Want to welcome our worship guests, especially the parents of the children's choir. Thank you so much for the effort, extra effort you made on a busy Sunday morning to get your kids here so that they too can remind us of our mission, that is to go and share the good news of Jesus, especially when life gives us opportunity to do so. When someone is in need and we love our neighbor and that gives us a chance to share the gospel, then we've done our work. We've worked hard for the Lord. Along those same lines, we welcome Pastor Stephen Valesky, our guest preacher today. He represents Kingdom Workers, and he will introduce himself briefly after the service too. And his message will be that God grows the church and the unique ways that he does, even through challenges. So when we have a chance to love our neighbor, we get to share Jesus too. The order of worship that will follow is printed in the worship booklet. If you didn't get one on the way in, now is a good time to get the attention of the ushers to make sure you have this for worship. It contains the entire service. And this morning, the children will open worship by singing our opening hymn, and then I'll have an announcement directing you back to the worship booklet for the liturgy. With those announcements, let us worship the Lord. Thank you. Our service continues on the bottom of page 3 in the service booklet. Please stand for worship.
O Lord, open my lips. Hasten to save me, O God. Give glory to God, our light and our life. Come, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout with joy to our saving rock. Come, enter in with our songs of praise. Come, enter in with thanksgiving. And a wondrous God, cupping in your hands all the depths of earth. You made the hills and the mountains high. You made the seas and the dry land. Come, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout with joy to our saving.
Please be seated. Our lessons from Scripture this morning have to do with God growing His church. The first lesson is recorded in Acts chapter 8. This lesson will be the basis for Pastor's sermon, so he will read the lesson at that time. We give our attention to the lesson from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It was St. Paul's privilege, he was called by God, to take the gospel to all nations. And along the way, he ran into hardship, which presented him with opportunity to share the word of God. And so St. Paul asks his readers to pray for him. And it's God's reminder to us to pray for those who go with the good news of Jesus. Remember them in your prayers as they remember you in their prayers. We partner together to grow God's church. St. Paul wrote, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us, as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many." This is the word of the Lord. At this time, Pastor will share a children's sermon. So as many of the children who would like to come forward may join Pastor in the front pew. If you would like to bring your child up or send an older sibling up, you're welcome to do so. Please join Pastor in the front pew for the children's sermon.
Good morning, boys and girls. Did any of you ever hear or read a story about someone putting a message into a bottle and then putting a cork in the bottle and throwing the bottle out in the water to see if anybody would ever read the message? You did, huh? Okay. There's a man, Harold Myers, went on a cruise in the Caribbean Sea with some of his friends, and while he was on the boat, he took three empty bottles and he wrote his name and address on a little piece of paper and put that piece of paper into each one of those bottles together with a $1 bill so that if anybody found the bottle somewhere, they'd have money for postage to be able to write back to him to say that they had found his bottle. And then he put the cork in the bottles and he put them out on the sea. His friends thought that he was crazy and was just throwing his money away. But you know what happened was that several weeks or several years later, people wrote back to him saying that they had found his bottle from way halfway across the world. The bottle had just floated in the water. Well, we brought along a bottle with a message here. Is there someone that can help me get the cork out of this here? Okay, yes, here. Yeah. Pulled pretty hard. Oh, thank you. Good. Okay. Now we've got the message here. You need somebody else here to can help me get. Can you help me get the message out of the bottle? Thank you. A little thing. I tried this in the early service to do it myself, and I had to get a child to do it. My fingers wouldn't fit. Well, and then we still need somebody who can read pretty well. Who can? Do you want to come and help? Yes. And read the message that we've got. Can you read it out real loud so that everybody can hear it?
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
Thank you. Wow, that's really a great message, isn't it? To get out into the world. And we know that Jesus wants his message of God's love, that he died for our sins. He wants that message to get out into all the world. And so maybe this is a way we can do it, that if we get enough bottles and write the message in and put it in and then put a cork in the bottle and put it out on the water, we can tell the whole world about Jesus. Think that's a pretty good idea? Well, it might not work perfectly, because I don't know that we're going to get too many people to learn about God's love in that way, are they? It's going to take a long, long time for the bottle to get all the way around to the other side of the world. Maybe a better way is that if each of us would just practice telling our friends and our relatives about Jesus and God's love. If everyone here in this church today, man, woman, and child, would just bring one other person to church next week, all of a sudden we'd be twice as many people here as we are right now. And if we do the same thing the next week and the next week, there'd be so many people we'd hardly even be able to have them here, all here for the purpose of worshiping God. And I think that's maybe a better idea of trying to tell the whole world about God's love, isn't it? Everyone tell somebody else. So thank you. Let's bow our heads in prayer here. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for your great love in coming into the world and living the perfect life and dying the sacrificial death on the cross that were necessary for our life and eternal salvation. And now we pray, O Lord, that you would use all of us, help us as this mighty army of your people going out into the world, helping the whole world to know about Jesus and his love, and to live in the hope of eternal life. Amen. Well, thank you very much for helping us with the message. You can go back to your places now. Oh, that's God's love, isn't it?
Our hymn of the day is hymn 520. You'll find it in the red hymnal. A hymn that encourages us to love our neighbor especially if it gives us a chance to share the gospel. Hymn 520.
Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Word of God, as Pastor Schmidt mentioned, that we want to have before us for our special meditation this morning is written in Acts chapter 8, beginning at the first verse as follows. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. In the name of Jesus, dear Christian friends, it's a great joy for me to be able to be with you here at St. Mark's in Citrus Heights this morning. I've followed your growth and development as a congregation from a distance from the beginning because your first pastor here, founding pastor Tom Fransman, was a classmate of mine in school for 11 years, high school in Saginaw, Michigan, college in Watertown, Wisconsin, and the seminary at Mequon, Wisconsin. Your longtime pastor, Ron Waterstrup, was another classmate, went for 4 years of college and 4 years of seminary with him. My son, Martin, is is a missionary in Mexico. He was a classmate with your Pastor Schmidt. And my younger son, Carl, was a classmate in school with your principal, Matthew Bauer. So there you have it all. Small world of the wealth. God moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. Here's the situation as it prevailed in the early Christian church that we have it described here in Acts chapter 8. The vision of Christ for his church is unmistakable and was perfectly clear
that he was looking for the church to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. However, here, we're already into the 8th chapter of Acts of the Apostles, and the church pretty much has just stayed put where it first started, in Jerusalem. It took the first systematic, organized persecution of the Christian church in Jerusalem to get the church moving. We read about that here in Acts 8. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem. That day refers to the day when Stephen, the first Christian martyr, was put to death. Saul, or as he later became known as the Apostle Paul, played a leading role in the martyrdom of Stephen and that first persecution of the Christian church in Jerusalem. That's described here that after the martyrdom of Stephen, we read, Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. The word destroy used here is sometimes used in the New Testament Greek to describe the savagery of wild beasts tearing their prey apart. So at the very least, what this tells us is that this first systematic persecution of Christians in Jerusalem led by Saul was not a mild, gentle affair. It was more akin to what we see going on in North Africa and the Middle East today. 30 Christian migrant workers from Egypt forcibly led down onto the Mediterranean beach in Libya and barbarically beheaded. This first organized persecution of Christians that we have described here in Acts chapter 8, was aimed at destroying the church. However, God turned it into something else. He used this great evil that these persecutors of the church were perpetrating. God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform to get the church moving. We read about that here, that the Christians who fled Jerusalem because of the persecution were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Acts chapter 11 gives us greater detail about this flight of the Christians, where we read, "Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. And those who had been scattered," we read, "preached the word wherever they went." Now, the first thing that we want to see in looking at this text this morning is that the church multiplies when all God's people get engaged in the work. I want you to note very carefully the precise words that are recorded here, where it tells us that in connection with this martyrdom of Stephen and the early persecution in Jerusalem, all except the apostles were scattered. What this means is that the first great expansion of the church in the world was eminently a lay affair. The apostles were in the background and were not the main players in this. They stayed in Jerusalem. It was the people who fled. Now we know how large a role the apostles played in the spread of early Christianity. That role is not in any way to be minimized. We know less about what ordinary Christians did for the spread of the faith, because historians don't normally take that much time talking about ordinary Christians. But this passage right here tells us that the role of regular rank-and-file Christians was very great. The first major expansion of the Christian church in the world took place when lay people, men, women, and children, filled with love of Christ and filled also with the power of the Holy Spirit, just found themselves incapable of keeping it to themselves, and so they preached the word as they went. Now, don't be put off by that word preached, which is something you normally associate with what your preacher does every Sunday here in the pulpit. Well, that is preaching too, but that's not the whole of it. The word itself in the Greek New Testament is evangelize. That's the exact Greek word, a word that means to publicly announce good news. It's the word that's used in the New Testament to describe what the angel Gabriel did when he announced to the priest Zechariah in the temple the good news of the coming birth of his son John the Baptist. It's the very same word that's used to describe what the angels did on the first Christmas night over the hills of Bethlehem when they announced to the shepherds the good news that Christ the Savior was born. What's very special about this word evangelize is that it's not used for normal conversation or discourse or argumentation or debate. It is simply proclamation. These early Christians, as they spread in the world, they simply told it as it was. No debate, no argument. They told the world of God's love in Jesus Christ and how Christ had redeemed the world from sin and hell. Kingdom Workers is doing a great job activating the laity of our church in spreading the gospel of Jesus at this time. It's built into their mission statement. They talk there about one of the planks is mobilizing God's people. That is, getting God's people on the move in the interest of the gospel. It's a wonderful thing, truly, when we Christians, we send out pastors, teachers, and missionaries into the world to proclaim the gospel. How much more powerful when you get the whole body of Christ, all of God's people, engaged in doing this work. In calendar year 2015, there were 1,896 Kingdom Worker Faith in Action volunteers here in this country and out in the world helping to spread the gospel. There were 242 Kingdom Worker Builders for Christ going about assisting congregations and mission fields in constructing worship facilities and educational units. There were an additional 280 Lutheran Health Alliance Kingdom Workers volunteers. That's the Wells equivalent of Doctors Without Borders, who were out in the world spreading the good news of Christ. And like those early Christians who fled Jerusalem, they are telling the world as they go of the great love of God in Jesus Christ for souls. Now, the world that Jesus and his disciples lived in, the first century world, had about 300 million total population, world population, or about the size of the population of the United States today. A daunting task, certainly, for that handful of disciples when Jesus told them to go out into all the world and make disciples of all nations. The first century world of 300 million people has changed now to our present world of over 7 billion people. How in the world are we to reach that kind of number for Christ? I'm not sure that that number, the enormity of that number, billion, not million, we're talking about billion, resonates with you. Let me translate it into
money to see if it can be a little bit more real to you. Suppose I were to give you $1 billion. Don't worry about it, I'm not going to do it. But suppose that I were to give you $1 billion and you were determined that you were going to spend that $1 billion at the rate of $1,000 a day, 7 days a week, 365 days of the year, rain or shine, with sick, good health, whatever, you had to spend that $1,000 every day, every single day after day after day. It would take you 3,000 years at that rate to spend $1 billion. And if you spend it at only the rate of $100 a day, it would take you 30,000 years to spend $1 billion. Now, we live today in a world not of 1 billion people, but a world of 7 billion people. How can this number be reached with the saving gospel of Jesus Christ? By human math, this certainly is out of the realm of possibility, but God's math is not human math. God moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. Human math is, how do you reach 7 billion people and throw up your hands in despair? God's math is, say there are 2 billion Christians in the world. God's math is each one reach one. If each Christian simply brings one other person to faith in Christ, overnight you've got 4 billion Christians. I think we can see that the gospel can be brought to the world. The world can be evangelized within our generation. The church multiplies when all God's people are engaged in the work. And here's the second thing. The church multiplies when man-made barriers to the gospel are shattered. These kind of things, walls, whatever you want to call them, barriers that separate us, are constantly being erected in the world and are impediments to the free spread of the gospel. The world was no different in Jesus' day. In first century Palestine, the time of Jesus and his disciples, Jews detested Samaritans. They hated them so much that typically if a Jew living in the northern part of Palestine in Galilee wanted to make the 100-mile trek down to Judea in southern Palestine, typically that Jew would go a roundabout way and would go outside of the bounds of Palestine, cross the River Jordan, and go down in order to avoid going through Samaria, which lay between Galilee and Samaria. And then when they'd come down the south, they'd re-enter Judea through Jericho and then go up to Jerusalem. Anything to avoid being contaminated by contact with a Samaritan. Well, Jesus ignored that taboo. He went through the towns and villages of Samaria with the saving gospel. He even spoke to a disreputable woman at the village of Sychar in Samaria and brought her to saving faith. Jesus told one of his best known and best loved parables, and he gave it a made as an unlikely hero in that parable, the Good Samaritan. Now that was something that was not lost on the disciples of Jesus, because some of the early disciples fleeing Jerusalem when they were being persecuted in that early persecution of the church ended up in Samaria, and they preached the word to Samaritan people as they went. Later, Philip took up residence in Samaria and had a much blessed ministry among the Samaritan people. And it didn't stop there. Remember, we read that those early Christians fleeing Jerusalem made it as far as Phoenicia in the north, that's modern-day Lebanon, and the island of Cyprus
in the Mediterranean Sea, and Antioch in Syria in the far north. There were huge barriers that existed between these wandering Jews and this Gentile world that they were now being confronted with for the first time, but it became as nothing to them. They just brushed it off, they blew it off, and the word stands that they preached the word wherever they went. Kingdom Workers has also as its goal to help us shatter whatever man-made barriers we have constructed, whether of race, nationality, you name it. Every generation needs to learn and relearn this lesson, this important lesson of the gospel, that all the prejudices of race, of money, of education, of customs, of status, of social standing, these things mean nothing, nilo, zero. They mean nothing at all to God. Christ died for all, and the mission that he's given to us, his people, is that we are to carry the saving gospel of the love of God to everyone for whom Christ died, which is everyone, period, regardless of the color of their skin, their language, their mannerisms, their customs, you name it. Now, while Kingdom Workers are carrying on the majority of their projects at this time right here at home in the U.S. or Canada, they are working indiscriminately among African Americans, Hispanics, Asian Americans, Native Americans, you name it, wherever the opportunity presents itself for sharing the gospel. And there are also Kingdom Workers at work at this present time in the Caribbean, in Chile, in South America, in Southern Sudan and Malawi, in Africa, in Southeast Asia, Indonesia, in Japan, carrying the love of Christ, a love that knows no bounds, no limits as far as God is concerned. Pray that the Lord of the Church would continue to help us to learn and relearn that we are all God's creatures, all alike under the condemnation of God's holy law, and all alike redeemed by the precious blood and cross and death of Jesus Christ our Lord. You are Kingdom Workers. By virtue of confessing of Christ, you're already engaged in the work. You're doing Kingdom Work right here at St. Mark Citrus Heights. So we're here, my wife and I, Sally, to tell you about Kingdom Workers. That's just one more way of putting out your energies and efforts in the interest of making Christ's name glorious in the world. You can be a Kingdom Workers volunteer if that's something that fits your schedule at this time. There are constantly projects going on in the world through Kingdom Workers Faith in Action, Lutheran Health Alliance, or Builders for Christ activities. Right now, just started October 5th, there's a major effort that's going to go on for the next 8 weeks in Baton Rouge, where I think you've read about the ravages of the severe flooding this past summer. They need, are looking for 8 to 10 volunteers who are willing to give a week or two of their time to go and show the love of Christ in this concrete way. Let people see the love of Christ there, and let people learn from our modeling the faith. There are any number of short-term, 2 to 3 week, or longer-term, a year or more, opportunities for this kind of service out in the world. Let me share with you just briefly the story of one unlikely
Kingdom Worker volunteer. His name is Stefan Felgenauer. He is a German national, and like many of his compatriots, he was brought up basically atheistic or maybe agnostic. He didn't know the love of God in Jesus Christ. In one of his travels, Stefan Felgenauer was in Indonesia, and he happened to meet Kathy Ohorn, who was a Kingdom Worker in a longer-term teaching position there in Indonesia. Stefan took an interest in Kathy Ohorn, and even a deeper interest in the faith that made her tick. And when he got back to his native Germany, Stefan looked up a pastor of the Evangelical Lutheran Free Church, a church in full doctrinal fellowship with the Wells, and asked if he could learn more about the faith. He took the instruction, was confirmed, and became an active Christian. But that's not the end of the story. Stefan and Kathy were married, and since then, they've made it every little open nook and cranny in their life that they're using on mission trips to Malawi or Canada or the U.S., whatever they can do, whatever they can do for the Lord, they're going to do. You can read the whole story or look up the story in kingdomworkers.com. That's a great place to go. It tells you about mission opportunities for Kingdom Workers as well as the stories of those who are carrying on the work. Take the time with the display that we have out in the narthex to pick up a copy of the Kingdom Workers update, an 8-color gloss periodical that relates the activities of Kingdom Workers. We know that not everyone is in a position to up and leave their life and go off on a mission trip somewhere, but we all can pray for this work. And if you want to be most effective in praying for this work, then you want to read up on it, know the people who are involved in it, know the work that they're doing, so that you can focus your prayers on that activity. God bless the spread of the gospel in the world, and God help us all as Kingdom Workers to do our share in this, our time of grace, the window of grace that God has given us, which is our lifetime, to promote Christ and his salvation wherever we can. In his name, amen. Please stand. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please join together in singing the You Are God, We Praise You, beginning on the bottom of page 6.
Thank you.
this point, we will gather our offerings. You were handed a connection card on your way in. This is the best way to get connected with St. Mark's or get connected with me. If you would like to visit about anything, I'm happy to set up a time to do so, whether it's sharing the love of Jesus with you or how St. Mark's can connect you to Jesus as well. So that's the purpose of this card. Please be seated as we worship our God with our gifts. In our prayer of the church this morning, we have been asked to remember Christy Bradley. She is the niece of Elaine Nisterchuk. Christy is 39 years old and sustained a severe heart attack this last week, and which led to a quadruple bypass surgery. She is in a medically induced coma, recovering from the heart attack and the procedure. So we join with Elaine in entrusting her niece, Christy, to the Lord at this time. We've also been asked to remember those who have been affected by Hurricane Matthew. We will ask that God bless the continuing work of Kingdom Workers and the gospel that they share. And then we will also ask God to bless our coordinating council as they are, will be meeting with Crossroads and will be leading us through that process. We'll ask God to give them wisdom and insight as well. Let us pray. Almighty God, we praise and honor your holy name for your numerous acts of love and mercy on behalf of your people. We especially thank you for the gift of your one and only Son, who has ascended into heaven and sits at your right hand. We rejoice in the knowledge that he is our advocate before your throne and that he intercedes for us in all our needs. Send your Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds with understanding and knowledge of your heavenly truths. Give to all who serve your holy church a full measure of your grace, that Christ may be confessed, his cross uplifted, and his gospel declared as the only way to eternal life. Bless all parents, that they may be wholesome examples to their children. May they teach their children to love you, to practice virtue, to desire to pursue instruction in your word, and to serve your church and all people. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you hear the prayers of all who are afflicted. In the quiet hour of the night, when they are weighed down with pain, loneliness, and anxiety, bring them strength and hope by assuring them that your love endures, your power overcomes, and your presence remains constant. And so, dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would share with Christy Bradley that reminder that you are her constant. We thank you that so far you have blessed her medical procedures and her surgery. We ask that as her body rests in a coma, that her soul might also rest in your care too. Please reassure Elaine and Christy that you go with Christy through her difficult time. And if it is your will, we ask that you would grant her a full and complete recovery. Dear Heavenly Father, we lift up to your heavenly throne all those who have been affected by the recent hurricane. For those who feel like they have lost everything, remind them that in you they have everything. They have their greatest treasure. We ask that you continue to provide safety and security to all who have been affected. Please bless those public servants who will go to help those who are in need and keep the area safe. We ask that you would keep them out of danger and give them a reminder that as they serve their brothers and sisters, that they also serve you. May this and all dangers be a time that people reach out to you and remind us all of the many physical blessings that you share with us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to learn about kingdom workers. We ask that you would bless all the humanitarian aid, all their building projects, and all their medical endeavors. But above all, we ask that you would bless them as they share the love of Jesus. May their ministry lead many more to not only creaturely comforts here, but to an eternal home that awaits us all. And finally, dear Heavenly Father, here at home, we ask that you bless our coordinating council, our congregation's leadership. We thank you for the sacrifices that they make, as they sacrifice sometimes time off of work, time with friends and family, and time off of relaxation, and they give it to serving us and to leading our congregation. Please give them wisdom, insight, and strength as they lead us through Crossroads Consulting Ministry. And above all, may this be a time when we reunite around your word and see it as a true privilege to be a congregation in your name and to reach out with the good news of Jesus. And then, dear Heavenly Father, when we leave this hour of worship, as we do so, we give all glory to your Son, Jesus. To him be praise and honor and glory and power, now and forever. Amen. Our worship continues with our next hymn. It's a hymn that helps us celebrate the love that we have in our Redeemer, Jesus. It's in the blue hymnal, number 747. The closing portion of our service begin with the song, Lord Have Mercy, on page 8 in the worship booklet. Please stand.
In the morning, O Lord, I call to you. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Grant, O merciful Lord, to your faithful people pardon and peace, that they may be cleansed from all their sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us safely to this new day. Defend us with your mighty power, and grant that this day we neither fall into sin nor run into any kind of danger. And in all we do, direct us to what is right in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us praise the Lord.
Praise be to God.
The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord's face ever shine upon you.
Amen.
The Lord grant you peace for all your days.
Amen.
Our closing hymn is also in the blue hymn book, number 761. A hymn that reminds us our Savior goes with us always. Please be seated as we close with 761. Thank you once again for making time in God's house a priority for you, as the minutes of Sunday mornings are very valuable and precious, so thank you. It's time very well spent. And may God build you up in the good news that you can take the love of Jesus, and God will use that to grow his church. So may Jesus bless you in the week ahead. I have a number of business announcements to share with you. First, on Friday at 5 o'clock is our hoedown. That information has come home from school, and it's also in the weekly update, so take a look at that. If you think your chili can beat mine, go ahead and enter one. But I'm taking a swing at making some chili this year. So Friday at 5 o'clock, lots of fun. Also, we are reminded that we are going to use Crossroads Consulting Ministry to help us evaluate and grow and expand our ministry. And two important dates, Friday the 28th for our leadership, and then Saturday the 29th for the entire congregation. There is a flyer in the worship booklet telling you more, giving you more information about that seminar on Saturday the 29th. There's a sign-up sheet. There's a plethora of sign-up sheets. So sign up for the seminar on the 29th. Debbie is going to coordinate the food for us, so we'll eat very well, and then we'll also see how we can meet the challenges that not only our congregation, but ministry in general faces today. We also have the honor of hosting our Area Reformation Service, and that will take place on October 30th. That's a Sunday at 4:30. So there's a sign-up sheet for that meal also, so that we can make sure that we have enough sides and salads for especially our guests that will join us. So Area Reformation Service, October 30th. The sign-up sheet is in the back. We get to celebrate with our brothers and sisters at Christ Lutheran in Lodi. They recently filled their vacancy, so next Sunday at 4 o'clock is the installation of Pastor Josh Hansen. So if you would like to go support your brothers and sisters in Lodi, 4 o'clock at Christ Lutheran is the installation. Not too long ago, you were introduced to an opportunity if you want to go celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation over in Germany and take a tour. Marty Peterson is heading up a group. There's still a flyer by the sign-up sheets. And if you would like to tour the Holy Land, Pastor Scott Stone from Vacaville is going to lead a group. And I guess some of you from St. Mark's went there with him last time and you really enjoyed it. So if you would like to take a tour of the Holy Group, Pastor Stone will help you do that. And I can get you in touch with him. In just a little bit, we'll take a look at the Wells Connection to see how we are using all of our talents to train up faithful teachers so that they not only are good teachers in the classroom, but they are also good ambassadors for Christ as they serve us. Before we take a peek at that, Pastor Valesky would like to greet you and also share with you a little bit more about Wells Kingdom Workers.
Thank you, Pastor Schmidt, and thank you, members of St. Mark, for giving us this time and opportunity to speak with you about something close to our heart, the work of the gospel, and particularly the work that Kingdom Workers is doing in spreading the gospel in the world. We have a display out at the back there. My wife, Sally, if you want to stand here, and myself will make ourselves available if anyone would like to have more information about Kingdom Workers and its work. Also, we have a little request that there is a Kingdom Workers survey. If we could get the ushers here to distribute these. This is a quick thing. This is still a pilot program, these Kingdom Workers Sundays, and we'd like your input and feedback on how well we brought you information about Kingdom Workers, what we didn't say that we should have said, what we said that you shouldn't, what we shouldn't have said. But anyway, if you would give us this response, we would greatly appreciate that. There is a box for that purpose out by the Kingdom Workers display for you to deposit the completed. Are these distributed already? Have people received these?
When they get ushered out, the ushers will.
When they get ushered out, they will get that. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hello, I'm Jim Rodiman, and it's my privilege to serve as the Director of Lutheran Schools.
Every Wells school and every early childhood center needs a qualified leader, and there aren't enough right now to fill the need across our synod. So what does it take to prepare a new school principal? The Wells Commission on Lutheran Schools has implemented a series of new leadership programs to train the leaders our schools need.
Dick Huebner is a man on the move.
He can do it any time after that Friday.
As the principal of Emmanuel Lutheran School in Greenville, Wisconsin, his typical day is a whirlwind of activity. Connecting with students. Serving in the classroom.
That's a teacher reimbursement.
Okay.
Overseeing finances. And occasionally, moving furniture.
And all that's year one, all times.
Principal Huebner has learned a lot over the years, and tapping the knowledge of our experienced principals is the goal of our Synod's new principal training program.
Oh.
There's our mistake.
Yep. We've worked with...
The idea is to accelerate the preparation of potential new principals by giving them the opportunity to work day by day alongside seasoned educators.
Let's just review the stuff that we talked about yesterday.
One beneficiary of this hands-on training is Nathan Scharf, who is now in the second year of this three-year training program.
I'm learning so much from the principal that I'm working with. He's, you know, guiding me, telling me things. I'm picking up things from him, things I don't even think he realizes that I'm learning.
I think the great thing about this now is Nate has a hands-on opportunity to learn from someone, and as not only from myself, but from our entire teaching staff who has that great love for ministry and training children for now and eternity.
All your props and that aren't by the bleachers because the bleachers...
After 3 years in this program, Nathan will move on to a call elsewhere. The staff and members of Emmanuel understand that the teacher they're helping train will use those talents elsewhere, but they consider it a way to show their love for others, to pay it forward in service to the Great Commission.
I'll turn the lights on, Leslie.
Our congregation really looks forward to that. We can take a person like Nate and train him for 3 years and then say, okay, someone else, here you're getting a very gifted young man who's going to be a great leader.
The goal is for them to gather tools and have tools to function as a leader, but also tools that they can take with them when they get reassigned that they can use in that new principalship position.
With more principals reaching retirement age, it's especially important for the next generation of leaders to learn all they can from experienced mentors.
In standard notation. It's very obvious that he's a good leader, and you see it in the way that he treats the faculty here at Emmanuel, the students here at Emmanuel, and those are some of the strong leadership concepts that I want to bring with me.
Strong, skilled leadership comes from experience. The principal training program is one part of a larger strategy to bring that experience to more Wells schools.
The new leadership programs aren't just for principals. There is a similar track for early childhood directors and other leadership positions. In all cases, it's one-on-one training that connects seasoned Christian educators with new candidates. We pray the Lord will bless this effort for the benefit of all the children entrusted to our care.